Matthew 13. So last week, we went over the parable of the sower. You remember Jesus said, the farmer went out to sow his seed. Some seed fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places, and it sprang up quickly. But when the sun came out, they were scorched and withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the plants. And some seed fell on good soil, producing 160 or 30-fold what was sown. So he starts out chapter 13 with that. And then he eventually explains the parable. So what does parable mean? Parable is a compound word made up of a form of the verb ballo, to throw, lay, or place, and the prefix para, meaning alongside of. The idea is that of placing or laying something alongside of something else for the purpose of comparison. So a parable, you know, Jesus gives this story of the farmer sowing the seed, but really laying alongside of it is spiritual truth of that parable. There's a spiritual side to that truth. And of course, later on, Jesus explains the spiritual meaning of that parable. The sower is either Jesus or a believer. The seed is the word of God. The soils represent the four hearts of people. The first heart is the path, the hard heart, and they hear the word, but Satan comes, and that's the birds, and snatches the word away so they cannot believe and be saved. The second seed falls on the rocky ground. That's the person who accepts it and is all excited and joyful. But as soon as persecution or trouble comes, they fall away just as quickly as they were excited. The third heart is the heart of the person. They mature, they're growing, but then they're choked by the thorns, which is the deceitfulnesses of riches, pleasures, and the worries of life. And so that Christian doesn't mature. And then the fourth seed, the word, falls on good soil, and those are people that mature, and they give out the word to others. And so I believe in all of the parables that Jesus gives. They sound like good stories, interesting stories, but there's a spiritual application to them. Well, in the middle of chapter 13, between Jesus giving the parable of the sower and explaining the parable of the sower, the disciples ask Jesus a question. And they go, in verse 10, why do you speak to the people in parables? Why do you talk in parables? Verse 11, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. So I got four truths that I want to share with you here. Verse 11, truth number one, why did Jesus speak to people in parables? Number one, the first truth is that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to believers, but not to the lost, not to other people. See, when you get saved, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God, comes into your heart, and you begin to understand the Scriptures, the Bible. But lost people cannot understand the Scriptures. It's a mystery to them. They're in darkness. They cannot understand it. Look in Matthew 11 for a moment. We're going to come back to Matthew 13. Don't lose that. Matthew 11. Even the most religious people, if they don't know Jesus, cannot understand the Scriptures. In Matthew 11, verse 25, Jesus says, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things. God's hidden the truths of his word. You've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. See, this is what's amazing. Little children who know Jesus can understand more about the Bible, more about the scriptures, more about who Jesus is than wise and learned people, religious people who do not know Jesus. I'm always amazed. You know, when religious people don't know Jesus and they don't understand the Bible, you always can figure them out very quickly because they won't preach from the Bible. They may refer to one verse, but then they'll preach from the latest books that are being written. Cults, because they don't understand the Bible, they will write another book. So the Mormons, because they don't understand the scriptures, they write the Book of Mormon. And because Christian Science doesn't understand the scriptures, they write the Key to Health and whatever. And because the Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand the scriptures, they translate a whole new Bible. So you can always tell when you have a cult because they don't understand the Bible and it's a puzzle to them. And so they create another book. Well, ministers, the liberal ministers who do not know Jesus Christ, do not believe Jesus, the gospel message, you can always go to a church and you can always tell where if the preacher understands the Bible, because if he does, he usually preaches from the Bible. When he doesn't preach from the Bible and starts sharing some good stories about being good to your neighbor and politics and all, it's a person who doesn't understand the scriptures. You can only understand it if the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 9. The Bible, they cannot understand it. It's a mystery. I know that before I met Jesus, I tried to read the Bible. I could not understand it. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by what? His Spirit, okay? Other people do not understand about heaven and the second coming of Jesus and all God's promises, but it has been revealed to us by His Spirit through the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read on. When Spirit is capitalized, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. When Spirit is a small s, it's talking about man's spirit. And so I'm to emphasize the capital S, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit, so you understand. Verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Does everyone understand that? Someone who is not born again, someone who does not know Jesus, does not have the Holy Spirit, the Bible is foolishness to them. They cannot understand it. They have a very superficial understanding of the Word of God, and usually it's very inaccurate. Here's a TV show I used to watch in the 60s. Do you remember this? What's the TV show called? My Favorite Martian. I thought this was appropriate since our church is the Mars Alliance Church. When I grew up, we had a TV set. So I grew up in northern New Jersey, And back in those days, believe it or not, you had to have an antenna on the top of your house. This is before the day of dishes. This is before the day of cable, okay? You had to put an antenna on your rooftop if you wanted to receive the TV channels. Now, I've talked to my wife, because we live next to New York City, and on top of the Empire State Building was a huge antenna that would broadcast out. We got 10 channels, but my wife, I think you got, what, 3 channels in Ohio. If you didn't have a TV antenna, you got no message. And on My Favorite Martian, I don't know if you know, but he, you know, every so often antennas would come up out of his head. You know. Look, when you come to Jesus, you become a Martian. I like that. You become a Martian in that you get Holy Spirit antennas. And you can now understand, because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. You understand the Scriptures. But to those who do not have Holy Spirit antennas, they cannot understand the Bible. I can't. Oh. All right, back to Matthew 13. Truth number 2. Matthew 13. So the first truth is those who do not know the Lord, do not have the Holy Spirit, they don't understand the Scriptures. If you want to know if this is true, you just go up to someone who doesn't know Jesus and you say, tell me everything about the Bible. And usually what they can tell you is, oh, I know there's a Christmas story, and maybe they can tell you about Easter. And that's about it, okay? They can tell you very little about the rest of the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 12, here's the second amazing truth. Whoever has will be what? Given more, and he will have an what? An abundance. So here's the amazing truth about the Bible. Is when you're growing in the Lord, whoever has, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're growing in the Lord, you will even gain more understanding of the Bible. You will have an abundance. New truths will open up that you did not see in the past. So for instance, I have this is hard to see. This is a room. And in this room, there's a painting on the wall and there's some nice furniture. See, the reason you don't see this room very clearly is because the light is not very good at this point. It's only a 20-watt bulb. Well, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and technically, theologically, we call it that the Holy Spirit begins to illumine the Scriptures and who Jesus is. And so when the light's low, I mean, you can kind of see there's paintings on the wall. You can kind of see there's furniture. But as the light gets brighter, you begin to see, oh, look at the magnificence of these paintings. Look at these, you know, look at the beautiful furniture. I couldn't see that. But when you go from a 20-watt bulb to a 100-watt bulb, you begin to see with more clarity. As you walk with the Lord and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to illumine and it becomes brighter and brighter and you see more truth in the Scriptures than you had seen before. Now, I know this is true even in my own life. So, I've been saved. I got saved in college, but I've been saved 38 years. And for those 38 years, I've always made a commitment that I have to read one chapter of the Bible every day. At least one. There was a period of about 30 years. I had to read 3 chapters every day. You go by how the Lord leads you. But you should be reading at least one chapter probably a day. And I've been preaching the Bible for like 33 years. And I keep learning more and more new stuff. And now, I mean, it's the same book, right? It's one book. And I'm still learning. You would think, Pastor, after 33 years, don't you know the Bible inside out? It's like, no, the Holy Spirit is still revealing more and more truth. Now you might be tempted to say, Pastor, you're just forgetting. You did, 25 years ago when you preached on that chapter, you did know that truth. You just forgot, okay? Here's the problem with that. Over the 33 years I've been preaching, I have kept every one of my sermons. I write, even to this day, I write out every one of my sermons. Every sermon that I do is about 10 pages long. I have 5,000 sermons. I have every one of my sermons I've done. So I can go back. I can go back to Matthew 13, and I probably preached through Matthew a couple of times. I can go back and I can read my sermons, and I go, man, I see this truth now. I didn't catch it back then 10 years ago. And when I go back to a sermon 20 years ago, man, I hardly saw any of the truth. So no, that's not correct. It's amazing how you grow. You know I took biology in college, right? My first 4 years before seminary. So I have to do some biology for you. In your eyeball are rods and cones. It is the rods in your eyeball that help you to see. These rods and the cones are all around the inside of your eyeball. The rods are to help you to see black and white. The cones are to help you to see color. Now, this is an electron microscope that... And so here's an actual picture of the inside of one of your eyeballs. And the greens are the rods. And the purples are the cones in your eyeball. Now, what's amazing is, and of course you realize I believe God is a creator. Do you know that there are 120 million rods in each of your eyeballs? 120 million rods. You realize how big that number is? And those rods are amazing in their, how they're built and their technical. And to think you've got 120 million of those in one of your eyeballs. So those fire off. You don't need much light for a rod to work. But rods are only in black and white. So when you're walking like down a dark street and there's only the moonlight, your rods fire off and you can only see in black and white and grays and stuff like that. Okay? You have to have so much light in order for the cones to fire off. You only have 5 million cones, by the way. And they're kind of grouped together in the middle of your eye. But the cones, in order for the cones to work, you have to have enough light. If you don't believe me, you can test yourself. You go into your bedroom at nighttime, and you just turn on a small light, and you will only see your room in black and white. If you turn up the light, eventually, if there's enough light, the cones can fire, and then you'll begin to see reds and blues and yellows, and you'll realize there's color in the room. But the cones only work if there's enough light for them to work. Is everyone with me? I'm giving you my biology lesson. Look, when you get saved, the rods start working, in a sense. And you read through the scriptures, and you kind of see in black and white. You see basic stuff. But what I'm telling you is the more you walk with the Lord, the more that you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to turn up the light, as we technically call it, to illumine the scriptures, the more the scriptures will come alive in glorious colors that you've never seen before. When you get into the Word, like the first time I read through the Old Testament, to be honest, I saw it in black and white, and I just saw like the stories. But as I've been walking with the Lord and the scriptures are turning into color, I see Jesus in every story in the Old Testament. It's all about, this is what's amazing, from Genesis to Revelation, it's actually all about Jesus. But you don't see that at first. The more you grow, the more you walk with the Lord, the more color comes and the more you realize the Bible is all about Jesus. The parables come alive. Because a lot of parables, Jesus doesn't give the explanation. But as you're walking with the Lord, suddenly you understand the parables more and more. So my analogy is, this is a flower opening up. And to me, every verse, every promise, every precept, every command, every story is like a flower. The first time you read through the Bible, you just see the bud. It's beautiful. You see truth. You think you learned it all. I'm always amazed when Christians come to, when I talk to Christians, hey, how's your Bible reading? Pastor, I read the Bible once about 20 years ago. I know it. I'm like, you're kidding, right? You read it through once. You only did phase one of the flower. When you read through it the second time, you get phase two of the flower, and three times, and four times. And the scriptures are amazing. The more you read through, the more the flower opens up, and the more you see the beauty of every word and every... It's just... There are a 500,000 different flowers in the world. And I want to say to you that every verse... Every chapter of the Bible is a flower of amazing truth. The more you walk with Jesus, the more he reveals to you, and you will have an abundance in your life. All right, principle number three. Unfortunately, principle number three is exactly the opposite of that one. Principle number three, Matthew 13, verse 12. Whoever has will be given more. You'll understand more of God's word. You'll have an abundance. You'll know amazing stuff about the scriptures. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be what? Taken from him. So this is talking about what we know as backsliding. So backsliding is when you're moving away from God because of sin in your life. Theologians usually don't necessarily use the term backsliding, although backsliding is a term that you will find in the Bible, but this is the more theological term. It's called retrogression. It's the process of returning to an earlier state, typically a worse one. So this is for Christians who get into sin or on purpose do not read their Bibles. Skip going to church. Don't pray. You will experience what theologians call retrogression. You think that you'll just stay where you're at. Like, okay, I have this much knowledge of the scriptures and of who Jesus is, but now I'm going to sin. Now I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. And you think that you're going to just stay here, but in fact, you don't. You retrogress in your knowledge and understanding of the Bible. You go backwards. You're either moving forward and growing and learning more about God and who he is and his promises, or you're going backwards. There's almost no such thing as just staying still. I've seen preachers. I've seen lay people who were amazing Christians, preaching in churches, teaching Sunday school. But for whatever reason, after 10, 20 years, got away from God, got away from studying the scriptures, got away from walking with the Lord, skipping out on church, whatever. Not only have I seen that they retrogress, but it's amazing when you talk to them how little, these are men and women who used to know the scriptures inside out. But within a matter of a couple years, they retrogress to a point like, I mean, I think they're saved. They still seem to understand salvation, but everything else is gone. It's gone. Their knowledge of God and who he is and their effectiveness, they have retrogressed. It's been taken. Oh, by the way, this is a woman that has anorexia. I picked this picture because it wasn't as bad as the ones I could have picked. But you know, someone who's anorexic, they think they're fat often. They don't eat enough food. But they themselves don't realize it. Like, they think they're fat, they think they're getting plenty of food. They're experiencing retrogression in their health. And unfortunately, they don't even know that not only is their health going downhill, but so is their emotions, their brains, their intellect. It's all going backwards because of this disease, okay? Well, listen, Christians. If you think you can keep skipping reading the Bible, like, oh man, I already know so much about the Bible. I'm so fat on the word. I can skip meals. I can skip days. You've got spiritual anorexia, and you don't realize that you are going backwards in your life. All right, principle number 4, Matthew 13, and this is for all the teachers in our church. So come to verse 52 of Matthew 13. Verse 52. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." So those who teach Sunday school, lead small groups, teaching your children at home about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, you should be like an owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. My wife and I, someday we'll get our furniture. But my wife and I, we like old treasures. We like antiques. Most of our antiques are from like the late 1800s, early 1900s. I don't know. There's something neat about antiques. I don't know why. It attaches us to the past. It's a day long ago. We marvel at the abilities of what people built in the past. And so we have treasures of old that if you come to our house, you'll see we have old treasures. But then we like new stuff too. We have some new art and we have new furniture and we have, so we're eclectic. We have old and we have new and we mix it together in our house. So you can go, what kind of, but anyway. In my office, you'll see I have what's called a steampunk light on my desk. So feel free to go in there and look at it. I love it because it's made up of antiques. It's made up of old antique parts that someone puts together to make a brand new light. So it's a combination of old treasure made into a new piece of treasure. So I kind of like that. So what's Jesus talking about when he says that the teacher brings out old treasures as well as new? I think he's referring to the Old Testament and the New Testament. That a great teacher who's instructed about Jesus brings out the treasures of the Old Testament, because it's all about Jesus, and they bring out the teachings and treasures of the New Testament. And a great teacher brings out both. Sometimes I meet teachers and they're like, I only specialize in the New Testament. Or some teachers, I only specialize in the Old. But a really good teacher, when the Word becomes alive, you bring out both. And what I love, it's like that steampunk lamp that's a combination of the both. I love when teachers can give the Old Testament story and then show, by the way, here's the New Testament, here's how it actually works together. It's the same message, the same analogy. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. It's, you know, and that's the amazing teachers that can do that because they've been walking with the Lord. Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I think about the day I got saved. And I went home that day when I got saved. The church gave me a Bible. And the Bible came alive. As David says in Psalm 119, 72, your word is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Jesus says, sanctify them by the word. Your word is truth. We thank you for the word of God, this love letter from heaven. And Lord, it was exciting when I got saved and walked onto the porch of Genesis. Went down the hallway and saw these great portraits of godly men and women through the ages. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Joseph and Moses. And Lord, to go into the study room of the preacher of Ecclesiastes, to go over to the library of Proverbs and the wisdom for living, and to come to the prophets and the watchtower who foresaw the first coming of Jesus and who have prophesied even more prophecy about the second coming of Jesus, and then coming into the throne room of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And Lord, your word is amazing. May we be men and women of the word of God. May your spirit illumine and light up the truth. May spiritual rods and cones fire off when we read your scriptures. May they come alive to us. May we not just be readers of the scriptures, but may we be doers of your word as well. May it so change us. Father, thank you for this great gift you've given us of the word of God. Bless us as we go. Bless us as we sing this song. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.